Rishus, Bar Da'asra, Rav Miller, Chashal Kehila. Like Rav Miller, I was thinking about the connection specifically between Chanukah and the difficult times we find ourselves in right now. And Chanukah is so appropriate for our times. Purim was a Hatzalah in Chutz La'aretz. Chanukah was a milchama for Eretz Yisrael. Was a milchama for the Medinat HaYehudim in Eretz Yisrael. That milchama we've been fighting since before 1948. And we're still fighting. And we'll keep fighting until, like the Chashmonaim, in the time of Chanukah, we are zoche to Chanukat HaMizbeach, b'mehirav yameinu. But we are particularly looking at Chanukah now because, as Rabbi Miller mentioned, we find ourselves in Choshech, where we need some or to illuminate the Choshech, to inspire us. And so I wanted to take perhaps a deep dive into Chanukah now, go to the roots of Chanukah, the pshat roots of Chanukah, and start with the psukim in Tanakh that tell over the Chanukah story. Now, at first, it sounds like I made a gross error because the Tanakh ended in the very beginning of Bayit Sheni, a couple hundred years before the Chanukah story. But that's not how Tanakh works. Most history books tell the story of the past, what happened until the date that the author wrote the book. Tanakh is a little different because specifically in the Nevi'im tell us the future. Just because the Tanakh was written before the Chanukah story happened doesn't mean the story doesn't appear. It just means that they didn't write it over like Sefer Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim as past history, but rather as the Nevi'im Achronim did, as future history. And what do they have to tell us? What do the Nevi'im have to tell us about the Chanukah story? I found two Nevi'im who most directly addressed this era of Jewish history. Of course, the Nevi'im who would talk about Chanukah are the Nevi'im of Bayit Sheni. The Nevi'im, the beginning of Bayit Sheni, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Haggai spoke a bit indirectly about the Chanukah story. What did he say? In the first parak of Haggai, it is not a long sefer. In the first parak of Haggai, he said, "Ki ko amar Hashem tzvakot, od achat ma'ati," just a little bit. And we know a little bit. We know from the last 75 years of Jewish history, a little bit. Sometimes we think it means tomorrow, next week, next month. Sometimes we realize that in Hashem's eyes, a little bit could take a couple more years than that. But a little bit, I will shake heavens and earth, the land and the sea. I will shake all of the nations, and all of the beauty of all the nations will come to fill this Beit HaMikdash, which Haggai was urging the Jews to continue building, with kavod, with glory, says Hashem. And he ends, Godol yekvod habayit hazeh achrom min harishon amar Hashem tzvakot u'malkom hazeh ten shalom no Hashem tzvakot. This second Beit HaMikdash, though it was very, very small in the days of Haggai, will be greater than the first Beit HaMikdash, will be greater than the times of Shlomo HaMelech, and he will fill this place, Eretz Yisrael, with peace. Haggai predicted, Hineni mar'ish shamayim va'aretz. And then he continues, Be'esrim va'arba latashi'i, on Erev Chanukah, the 24th of Kislev, he said, what is going to happen very soon? And Morals Rubavel Pachad Yudah tells Rubavel, Pachad is a governor in the Persian Empire, right? There was no Jewish state when they first built the second Beit HaMikdash in the time period called Shivat Zion. They didn't come with an army to conquer Eretz Israel. They came with a duly signed letter and notarized letter of authorization from Koresh, Melech Paras. that they had the right to make a Jewish county, as it were, a Jewish province, and build their temple in the Persian Empire. But tell him, Ani marish l'shamayim v'atzar, I'm shaking heavens and earth. Va'afachti kisei mamlachot, I will overturn the throne of empires. V'shmati chozik mamlachot hayyem, and I will destroy the powerful kingdoms of the nations. Va'afachti merkavavruch, ver v'yardusu simvruch v'hem, etc. With their chariots, with their riders, maybe we would add with their elephants. I will overturn them all and defeat them. Now we know from Jewish history that in the days of Haggai passed away at a ripe old age, and no empires were overturned. Earth and heaven did not shake. For hundreds of years, the Jews lived under the domination of foreign powers as a province in someone else's empire, and Haggai's the word did not come true, but then it did. It did in the days of the Chashmonaim. When someone stood up with a Mesirat Nefesh and said, Mila Shem Elai, I am going to stand up, I'm not going to be afraid of anyone, Haggai's words came true. Haggai accurately predicted the events of Hanukkah. Hashem, in fact, shook heavens and earth, defeated mighty empires, created for a Jewish state that lasted, as the Rambam says, more than 200 years, and became a very powerful state. Just as the Navi predicted. Okay, Am HaNetzach Lo Mefachei Miderech Arukah. He said a little bit, sometimes a little bit, can take a few years. But Zechariah, he fills in the picture. Next Shabbos, this Shabbos is Shabbos pre-Chanukah. We ready ourselves to receive the light. Next Shabbos is Shabbos Chanukah. We're bathed in the light. And we will lay in the Haftorah, Raniva Simchi Bat Zion. From Zechariah, one of the other Nevi'im, the beginning of Bayit Sheni. And let's see a little bit what we will read and try to figure out on a very pshat level what it is saying to us. And we'll see that sometimes even on a very pshat level, when you actually read what it says in the Navi, you can come to tremendous insights. No, first, the Malach shows Zechariah the Kohen Gadol, Yoshua, who is standing in front of the Malach, with the Satan, the accuser, standing on his right. And Hashem says to the Satan, Yigar Hashem b'cha Satan. Hashem rebukes the Satan, and he tells the Malach to switch Yoshua's clothing to clean clothing, Hayalavosh b'gadim tzo'im. Interestingly, there's a Kohen Gadol here, very reminiscent of the Hanukkah story. And the Kohen Gadol has a hitchatshut, becomes purified, goes from a solid identity to a pure Torah Jewish identity, symbolized by his pure clothing. And what does Hashem say to him? Ko'amar Hashem Tzvakot. If you follow my ways, Tishmor, guard the tahara of the Beit HaMikdash, then you'll be men of miracles. I will bring the Redeemer. I will bring the Geula. Skipping to the last paragraph of the Haftorah, and here's why we picked this Haftorah for Hanukkah. Not just because there's a Kohen Gadol who becomes Tameyim Biyad Tohorim, who represents the Tara and the victory of the Tzemach, the Reshit, the Tzmichat Gulatenu. Vayashav HaMalach HaTovar Bi Vayireini Ke'ish Asher Yor Mishnato. The Malach came to Zechariah and woke him up, startled him, as if he was startled from a deep slumber. Vayomer Lai Matar, and he says to me, Zechariah talking, what do you see? Zechariah said, I know what I see. I see a golden menorah. I see the menorah like the one in the Beit HaMikdash. A golden menorah with a bowl on top. The one in the Beit HaMikdash didn't have a bowl on top, but like the one in the Beit HaMikdash, Shiva Nerotah, it had seven lamps. Nerot, not what we call candles, but lamps, bowls that hold oil. Shiva Shavam Mutzakot, there were seven pipes to the lamps. There was a bowl full of oil, and that bowl, you know, like some of those fancy things you have with the kiddush cup you pour in. And it's, so that bowl had seven pipes that poured oil, fed oil into the seven lamps of the menorah. So I guess it was a menorah mishuchlelet. You just had to pour the oil into the bowl, and it automatically went into the seven lamps. Okay, that's cute, but I wouldn't say yet philosophically significant. Ushnayim zitim alav. There were two olive trees next to it. Echad mimina gulav yechad al smala. One to the right and one to the left of this bowl. Va'an v'omar l'machol dover bilimor ma'il aduni. And Zechariah said to the malach, he said, what does this mean? It's nice. I see it. I see a menorah. Remember, he was before Hanukkah. He didn't know what to associate it with yet. I see a menorah. I see the bowl. I see olive trees. But what does it mean? What does it symbolize? The Malach said, you don't know what it means? He said, no, sir. I'm sorry, I don't. He says, this is the Dvar Hashem. This is Hashem's message to Zerubbabel. Who was Zerubbabel? He was Pachat Yudah, the governor of Yehuda, the political leader of the Jews. He was the prime minister. He says, this is Hashem's message. Lo b'chayel v'lo b'koach. It's not through armies, soldiers, power. It's not through might. Ki im beruchi. It's my spirit. Amar Hashem Tzvakot. It doesn't matter who is more or less powerful. It matters who has Hashem's spirit with him. It matters who has Hashem on their side. Miatahar hagadol of nezer avel mishor. A giant mountain, an insurmountable obstacle, in front of you will become flat ground. The insurmountable obstacle will disappear in a second. Be'otziyata evan arosha, tishuot chen chen la. And you will take out the final stone, perhaps the capstone of the Beit HaMikdash. You will build a beautiful Beit HaMikdash with cries of celebration. And if you remember from Shul last year, I know it's been a while, right? Tishuot chen chen la, and then the brachot after the Haftorah. And we're left a little wondering. I, as a kid, was always wondering a little. Why does a menorah with a bowl and two olive trees mean lo b'chayel v'lo b'koach ki im beruchi amar Hashem Tzvakot? It's just a menorah. I mean, it's cute that it has that thing like some of those Kiddush cups. And obviously olive trees are near it because you burn olive oil. But how does that prove lo b'chayel v'lo b'koach ki im beruchi? So I decided one day to be a brave, adventurous explorer and read further than the Haftorah. And if we continue reading, Vahidvar Hashem Elai Limor, just continue in the Navi, Yedei Zerubbabel Yisdu Habayit Hazev Yadav Tvatzanav Yadata Ki Hashem Tzvakot Shalachani Alechem. Zerubbabel will, he laid the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash and he will finish it. And you'll know that Hashem sent you. Ki Mivaz L'yom Ketanot, right? Who denigrated the small day? The day when they started their very small building project, they built a little foundation for a tiny Beit HaMikdash, there were people who said, eh, they were wrong. And they will realize their mistake and they will rejoice when they see finally the plumb line when he puts the final stones of the Beit HaMikdash, etc. Then Zechariah asked his malach, what are these two olive trees on the right and left? What do they represent? And before getting an answer, he asked another question. What are the two olive branches? Asher b'yad shnei santarot hazahav, which are next to the two, let us say, spouts. There are about 10 pshat in the first what santarot are, but the meaning of the pasuk is very clear. Let's call them spouts, one pshat. There are two olive branches next to the two spouts of gold, hamarikin me'alihem hazahav, that pour the golden olive oil from on them. Right? What are these? Now, let's figure out the picture here. Something's pouring olive oil from on itself. These two spouts with the two branches from the two olive trees are pouring olive oil. Where they're pouring olive oil into? Put two and two together. Go to the previous paragraph. This bowl. How is this bowl getting olive oil? No one puts olive oil into the bowl. No one puts oil into the menorah. They're just olive trees, and all of a sudden, the olives squeeze themselves through some spouts, which shoot the olive oil into a bowl, which pipes them down into the menorah and makes it burn by itself. Basically, Zechariah had a nevuah, a prophetic vision of the Neis Pach HaShemen. Zechariah had a prophetic vision of a menorah in the Beit HaMikdash that you didn't have to put oil in. It just burned by itself. Hashem put the oil in without any human intervention. And now we understand. Zachariah said, what does this mean? Why is the menorah continuing to burn without anyone adding oil to it? What does this symbolize? And the Malach explained to him, you know what this symbolizes? You know what it means when the light of the menorah burns even though you don't put oil into it? It means that what determines the fate of human history is not how much power, how much fuel you have, but how much hashkacha you have, but how much siyata d'shmaya you have. Lo b'chayil v'lo b'koach, ki im beruchi. It doesn't matter how much oil you put in your menorah. It matters how long Hashem wants your menorah to burn. That was the message to Zechariah. And now we put Haggai and Zechariah together, and we can basically safely say that it is a mistake. There are those who say that out of all the Chagim in the Jewish calendar, all but one are found in Tanakh. Right? The Chumash discusses the Deoraita, the Torah Chagim, and the whole book of Megillat Esther discusses Purim, but Hanukkah is post-biblical. Yes. And chronologically, Hanukkah is post-biblical. It happened hundreds of years after the Tanakh was written, but there is no Chag that is not described even in detail in Tanakh. Haggai tells us that Hashem will overturn empires and give us a Jewish state with the Beit HaMikdash. And Zechariah tells us what symbolizes, what is the one thing in the world which symbolizes Hashem's siyata d'shmaya of this fledgling Jewish state, which tells us lo b'chayv v'lo b'koach v'kiyim beruchi, we will not succeed because we're more powerful than the Persians. Will succeed because Hashem is with us. The menorah burning without anyone adding oil. The nes of the menorah. And it is no wonder then that the Mefarshim ask one of the, perhaps the second most classic question about Hanukkah. Why is it so significant to have a nes of the Pach HaShemen? I understand what it says on Al HaNisim. What it say in Al HaNisim? The Greeks came, they made terrible decrees on us, and Hashem saved us. Masarta giborim biyad chalashim, utmeim biyad torim, usha'im biyad tzadikim, zeidim biyad oskei toratecha. A tremendous victory against all the odds. For that, we're modim. We added into modim when we thank Hashem. That makes sense. But the fact that the light, they only had enough oil for one day and it burned for 7 days, it's impressive. But what difference did it make? How did it improve our lives? How did it change history that the menorah burned for 8 days instead of for 1 day? And the Maharal, in his Chidushei Agadot on Masechet Shabbat, in the second parak, where the Gemara discusses Chanukah, almost all the discussion of Chanukah in the Gemara is in the second parak of Masechet Shabbat. That second parak might be familiar to us from Friday nights. Bamei Madlikin, it's about Hadlakat Neirot, so that's the appropriate place to discuss Hanukkah. The Maharal right there asks this question. He says, the Gemara says, why did they make Hanukkah? Because the menorah burned for 8 days. He says, because the menorah burned for 8 days. So, okay, they did a mitzvah for 8 days instead of 1 day. I love mitzvahs. I want to do mitzvahs every day. Now, if I could do mitzvahs 8 days instead of one, I would be very happy. But I wouldn't necessarily make a national holiday for it. And he says, we only make a holiday when Hashem saves us from our enemies. And he explains, She'ikar mashter kovi mechanik b'shol matzu natzchu at hayivanim. Rak shalo hayanir esha yin tzachon al yidea nes Hashem yisbar sh'as zeb lo b'kocham v'ratam l'fikach nasa nes al yidea nirotam nera she'yed u Hashem haya b'nesa mechama gamkein. He says, what happened? They beat the Greeks. There are two ways to look at what happened in the Hanukkah story. Imagine we were there, the in-between, freeze frame, against all odds, the ragtag band of Jewish, priest warriors, more priests than warriors perhaps, beat the Syrian Greek Empire. Freeze frame right there. There are two ways you could spin this story. Two narratives you could weave this story into. You could say, Well, you know, it's a national liberation movement. They were fierce guerrilla warriors. They knew the terrain. They had nowhere else to go. You know, you could come up with a lot of explanations why sometimes the smaller army beats the bigger army. And that's what happens in warfare sometimes. After all, if you were to go back in the last 1,000 years of, you know, human history and look at every war and see who was predicted to win beforehand, you'd say sometimes they got it wrong. And here the Jews happen to have some tactical advantages, unforeseen tactical advantages over the Greeks. Or you could say, this is Nevuah coming true. This is Hashem fulfilling His word, Biyad Avadav Hanviim. This is what Haggai meant by Hineni Mar'ish et Hashamayim ve'et Ha'aretz v'hafachti kisei mamlachot. This is what Zechariah meant by Lo v'chayev v'lo v'koach kiim ruchi amar Hashem tzvakot. Just to make sure we didn't pick the wrong option, Hashem gave us a Neis Pach HaShemen. We don't celebrate the Neis Pach HaShemen. We celebrate the military victory. But it's not worth celebrating if it's happenstance. It's not worth celebrating if it's clever guerrilla warfare tactics. Those are here today and gone tomorrow. Those are, you know, for nations that get lucky once, get lucky twice, and then disappear. It's only worth celebrating if it's a fulfillment of the Nevuah of Haggai and Zechariah. It's only worth celebrating if it's a hitgalut of Hashem in this world. And that's why Hashem specifically gave the nace of the menorah burning. He was telling the Jews at the time and telling the Jews in all times, go back to your Navi. Remember when Zechariah saw the menorah burning on its own and what it meant? Just to make it clear, I'll make the menorah burn on its own for an extra 7 days. And you know what it meant, because I told Zechariah hundreds of years ago. It means, lo b'chayv, lo b'koach, ki in beruchi. You didn't win because you got lucky. You didn't win because you were smart. You didn't win because of any other rational explanation. You won because Hashem runs the world and Hashem Shekhinah rests among Klal Yisrael. Now, here is the amazing part, in my opinion. This happened a long time ago. You know, let's say round off 2,200 years ago or so. And that kingdom, the Hashmonaim, lasted a long time. Unfortunately, it ended because of strife between different factions of Jews, because of Sinat Chinam. Chazal don't only mean that there was Sinat Chinam, and therefore up in the Shamayim, Hashem gave us a negative gzera and caused the Churban. They mean even down here on earth in a very rational, historical analysis, because the Jews fought with each other, they weakened themselves to the point where it was they were easy prey for their enemies. And then we're in Galut for 1900 years. And then 1948, we came back. And the story happened again. What were the odds? You know, what were the odds in 1948? A ragtag band of Holocaust survivors? They're probably about as qualified as the Kohanim from the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Matityahu ben Yochanan. I remember Amital told me once, who fought in the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, who fought in the Milchemet Atzmaut, he said, a good army unit was one where there was a language that every soldier in the unit had in common, because then the commander could give orders and everyone could understand. Because in a Stam army unit, some of them spoke Yiddish and not Arabic, some Arabic and not Yiddish, and some Hebrew and not either of those. But if everyone spoke the same language, then that was already a crack unit. And, you know, they beat how many Arab states with how many hundreds of thousands of real trained soldiers in a real army with real tanks and real planes? How did they do it? Okay, same question. Maybe they were more desperate. Maybe Jews have really, really smart genes, so they came up with clever tactics. Maybe I could sit here for the next 2 hours and come up with 100 reasons. Or maybe it's because there's something that transcends all of these cheshbonot. Maybe it's because lo b'chayev, lo b'koach, ki im beruchi, because it was time to fulfill the words of the Nevi'im once again. Od ma'at, a little more. And a little more sometimes means derech harukah. Haggai's little more meant 300 years, but it happened. Od ma'at, maybe Hashem was once again ready to fulfill the promises he made through his Nevi'im. How do we look at this? How do we look at the last 75 years? And who gets to decide? I mean, obviously, we're all responsible to decide for ourselves. Who gets to proclaim our decision? Oh, there's a Medinat Yisrael. Represents the Jewish people, our state. Medinat Yisrael has a semel. There's a semel of Medinat Yisrael. It's everywhere. Every piece of mail you get, everything. What is the semel of Medinat Yisrael?
Menorah.
It's a menorah, and what's on the side of it?
Olive
two olive branches. I, out of curiosity, I Googled once. What is the meaning of the symbol of the state of Israel? You get all kinds of theories. You know, menorah, because that's traditional Jewish symbol. Olive branches, because we want peace. I'm all in favor of peace. But that doesn't mean that's why they picked it for the symbol. It's obvious where they got it from. Remember, the people who, I'm a little embarrassed to say, that perhaps the people who founded this state knew Tanakh even better than many yeshiva bachrim nowadays. The yeshiva bachrim should also know Tanakh well. But they knew their Tanakh. Ma'elu shnei shibalei hazetim. These two olive branches next to the menorah. They made the semel of the Nidat Yisrael, not a menorah. A menorah with the two olive branches, the Nevuah of Zechariah. Basically, they said, what does our state stand for? What is every piece of paper you get asking you for back taxes declare before it says, dear Mr. or Mrs. Plony? We declare that our state is Zechariah's menorah that burned by itself without anyone putting oil in. That the olive branches put the oil in by themselves, the miraculously burning menorah, the menorah of Zechariah, of founding by Cheney against the odds, the menorah of the Chashmonaim, of beating the Greeks against the odds. That is what our state is all about. It's all about, lo b'chayel v'lo b'koach, ki im beruchi, amar Hashem Tzvakot. That's what the last 75 years has been about. And I think that, first of all, this puts me in a different frame of mind every time I get a piece of mail from the government, whether it's something good, whether it's something, whether they want me to pay something. I open it up, I see this menorah with the two olive branches, and I say, whoa, I am living the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Zechariah, as well as so many other Nevuah to my team. And I think this is really the biggest chizuk for easy times and difficult times. It's so easy in difficult times to fall into the trap of, we made it the last 75 years, but this is tough. How are we going to get out of this? How is Tzahal going to conquer this? And how are we going to deal with this threat? And how are we, once you start making these cheshbonot, how are we going to be powerful enough to assure that we will always beat our enemies and no one can hurt us? You're already going down the rabbit hole. You're just asking for anxiety, asking for fear, asking for existential challenge. The answer is, to me, is pashut. I don't know exactly how, b'derech hateva, we are going to get out of everything. But I know that whether we have a lot of power or a little power, one thing we've clearly learned is that whether we're 1948, a ragtag band of nobodies, or whether we're the most powerful military in the world, we don't count on our military. We support our military. We fight in our military. We send our kids to the army. But we count on Hashem. Lo b'chayav, lo b'koach, ki im beruchi. We've made it not 75 years. We've made it 3,000 plus years. And we weren't supposed to. By all logic, forget about what's happening in our lifetimes. Forget about the Shoah. Forget about the Inquisition. By all logic, we shouldn't have made it like into the common era, counting of years. You know, how many empires were so much bigger than us and are in the history books? You know, where's the Roman Empire and where's the and where's the Egyptian Empire and the Assyrian Empire and, you know, where's everyone from the history books? The answer is they're in the history books. And you can find out a lot about them in museums. And We're still here. We're still here with the same Torah our ancestors had thousands and thousands of years ago, keeping up the same Masorah, continuing the story of thousands of years ago. And that's the real miracle of Hanukkah. The real miracle of Hanukkah is not that there was enough power to burn for one day and it burned for 8 days. That's impressive. But that's not what's really impressive. What's really impressive is that a Middle Eastern tribe called Israelites, called the Jews, who, if you had asked any historian ever, had enough power, enough going for them, enough cultural assets to last 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, but were bound to go out when they ran out of fuel and be extinguished like everyone else in the world, somehow kept burning and burning and burning, kept going and going against all the odds, against all logic, to this very day when we are still here. It's not always easy. It's a derech arukah. The od ma'at is not always, people who listen to Chagai thought od ma'at was next week, and it turned out it was a little longer. Sometimes we think od ma'at is next week, and we have to have savlanot, but ultimately we know we've made it this far. We're going to continue. We know how the story will end, even if we don't know exactly when it'll end and exactly how difficult it will be towards the ending. And that is the real miracle of Hanukkah. And I think that's really the chizuk for this time. I just want to end with one very, very short thought. Just, Ryan Miller already said it all, but it's worth repeating. The Chazal tell us a fascinating insight that the nace of the oil burning too long was not only one vision of Zechariah realized once in the Hanukkah story. It actually happened every day in the Beit HaMikdash. As a matter of fact, some explain that is why in the Al-Hanisa, maybe they don't mention the nace of the Pach HaShemen. Another explanation is because it happened every day, so it wasn't quite as special as we think. Chazal tell us in that Gemara Masechet Shabbat, Michutz leParochat HaEidot, why were the menorah called Chutz leParochat HaEidot? Because Eidot hu leBa'ei Olam Sheshkinah SheRabbi Yisrael. It is testimony, the menorah's testimony in the entire world that the Shekhinah rests among the Jewish people. Ma'eidot, what's the testimony? Amarav Zoner Maravish Notein Bashem Kmidat Chavrotel Mimena Yamad Liko Ba'ei Yamasayim. It is the Western lamp. Okay? There's a lot of literature on exactly which lamp was the Western lamp, but it's one of the seven they wrote. They would put the exact same amount of oil, it's half a log, into each of the seven they wrote. They would light the Ner Maravi first, and it would burn hours and hours longer than all the rest. All the rest would burn for around 15 hours, which is the amount of oil you put in them, and the Ner Maravi would burn for 24 hours. With the same amount of oil, the same miracle. Why? To teach us, Sheshkinah Sherabbi Yisrael. To teach us, we have the Shekhinah amongst us, that there's something special going on here. As Rashi says there very beautifully, Kol Zman Shehu Yisrael Chaviven, when the Jews were beloved, when the Jews really were special, Hayadolei Kol Hayom, it would burn all day, 24 hours. Hayu Eiduta, and it would be a daily miracle that would testify the specialness of the Jewish people. With all of the tremendous pain and suffering that we've had to endure in the last month and a half, and that we continue, unfortunately, every day, one thing we've realized is Eidot Sheshkinah Sherabbi Yisrael. We've seen testimony, we've seen proof of how special Chavivin, Hoy Yisrael Chavivin, how special the Jewish people are. Until October 7th, if you would have asked me about this kind of Jew and that kind of Jew, I wouldn't have said anything negative, perhaps, about another kind of Jew, but I would have thought it. And then I would have had to stop myself from saying it because, you know, I want to be part of the solution, not the problem. I would have thought, oh, this kind of Jew, that kind of Jew, etc. All of a sudden, after October 7th, what did we see? We really saw Hashkina Shor. We saw how amazing, how great the Jews are. Whether it's Ben Adam LeMakom, Rev. Rimon told me, the first time he went to visit soldiers in the army after October 7th, he said, I'm not going to be one of those rabbis who just tells everyone to be religious. I'm going to be like Avram Avinu, who, like, you know, does chesed with everyone. And he brought food and drink and clothing, etc. And the soldiers came to him and said, what are you doing? You're a rabbi. We wanted you to bring us tzitzit. We don't want food from you. Right? This is, you know, the I feel like sometimes even maybe you need a rabbi to go to the chiloni and tell him, you should know it's not 100% that you will not be hurt if you wear tzitzit. It's a skula that increases the odds and gets you ashtacha. But it's amazing how much people have realized, not just Jewish identity, 300,000 people in the mall in Washington, Jewish identity, and the soldiers, the 300,000 soldiers in the Miluimnikim, much more than Jewish identity, right? Yichtov Yado LaShem, that really the thirst for Torah and mitzvot, for connection, and Bin Adam LaChaveiro, starting with the soldiers. One thing is amazing. We've all spoken to many soldiers. One thing all the soldiers have in common, which I would never have predicted, is they're all smiling. The soldiers are smiling. They feel privileged to do what they're doing, right? The soldiers are, they're not reluctantly going because they've been drafted and the law requires them. No, they are smiling. They are proud of the opportunity to help Achim, to help Am Yisrael, and everyone helping the soldiers. You know, the collection of everything a soldier could possibly need, of everything a soldier's family could need, from Jews all over the country. A week after October 7th, someone told me, I called a tactical gear store in New Jersey, and I asked to buy whatever, these ceramic plates, something bulletproof, and the guy said, sorry, the whole store is sold out. Our entire inventory is on its way to Israel. That the United States of America. And realize, real Americans have a lot of tactical gear in their stores, right? To empty out the whole store is a big deal. But that is really the Mika Amcha Yisrael, everything we've seen about how beautiful the Jewish people is, has been the other tremendous, tremendous chizuk, that we see the Ner enlightens us with Yisrael Chavivim, with Shekhinah Shor B'Yisrael, Be'ezrat Hashem, we should all take chizuk from the light of Chanukah to remember the historical period we're in, to remember lo b'chayiv, lo b'koach, ki im baruchi, where to put our bitachon, to remember how chaviv Am Yisrael is, the Shekhinah Sharev Tochan, Be'ezrat Hashem, may we be zoche to see this war end, and end the right way very, very, very soon, to see all the Jews rescued from danger, from hostages to soldiers to every single citizen in this Medina. Maybe be zocha that after the war ends, we all remember that Achim LeNeshek is not just about protests on Kaplan. It's about, from October 7th and on, collecting everything that Chayalim need and going down to fight. We all remember that there are not Charedim and Datiyim and Chilonim, that we're all in the same boat, that we're all on the same team, and that all these people are now helping out the effort without checking anyone else's tzitzis, although they would find they're all wearing them now. And Meir Bizocha, just like in the time of Hanukkah, that we should see not only Geulah Vishua, but as Egmor Bishir Mizmor Hanukat Hamizbeach.
Amen.
Thank you.
Our 5 minutes
got stirred. I see you then.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
So special.
which is just another.
Hi, thank you. My name is Danny Paris. I know you're the creator of Boston. My grandfather, David Paris,
was from Baltimore.
They were classmates in TA. Well, I worked with his granddaughter in the she works the same as I do.
What do you do?
I'm a pediatrician. I know you're Matthews and all the family
families. Thank you. How are you? Baruch Hashem. Is someone coming to your family?
My parents are coming.
Your parents
are coming. Okay, you got the word got out. Okay.
Let the shepherd up. Next day.
It's so special that you can see all the authors and you have no idea how the authors really have on this line.
Dying to get him, and he could.